Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Kean. Today we'll discuss the article by Cowling et al. Titled, Discoidin Domain Receptor 2, DDR2, Germline Gene Deletion Leads to Altered Heart Structure and Function in the Mouse. This article published online July 3, 2014. My guests today are Deputy Editor Mary Lindsay, lead author Randy Cowling, and expert Angelo Calderoni. Let's get started.
Thank you, Kara. Discoidin domain receptor 2, DDR2, is a fibrillar collagen receptor expressed by mesenchymal cells. In the heart, it is specific for cardiac fibroblasts. Randy, can you summarize for us what happens to the left ventricle when you delete DDR2?
Yes, thanks, Mary. What basically happens to the ventricle is you have a smaller ventricle, a smaller left ventricle develops. The cardiomyocytes are atypically shorter. Their diameter to length are shorter than normal. And the collagen amount relative to the muscle mass is normal, but it seems to be less dense, seems to be distributed in a slightly larger area than normal. It leads to some minor, I would say minor, but they're definitely noticeable alterations in cardiac function. We have some changes in the myocyte contractility as well as relaxation.
Angelo, as Randy mentioned, collagen levels were similar, but the amount of collagen occupied a larger volume in the DDR2 null mice. This suggested that their collagen that's deposited was less densely packed. Can you comment on how this finding highlights the importance of both understanding how the quantity changes, but also how the quality of collagen deposition might change?
Well, I think the finding that the collagen is less densely packed is an extremely novel finding. I haven't seen that in many papers, actually. So I think Randy's paper may be one of the first to actually demonstrate that, at least in the field of cardiac remodeling. I mean, we know that in pathological remodeling, collagen content is, the synthesis and deposition is increased, at least diastolic dysfunction, also systolic dysfunction, obviously. But other than that, I mean, it's an interesting, I thought that was one of the novel findings of the study, that it was less densely packed.
That's a good point. Angelo, DDR2 regulation of collagen has relevance in other fields, in particular in your area, in the cardiac stem cell biology field. Can you tell how this manuscript can give insight into some of your own studies?
Well, I'm working with cardiac resident neuroprogenitor stem cell populations that express Nestin. And they are a source of peptide growth factor, so it's possible they could influence the fibroblast response. Likewise, at least some of the work from Pure Inverse's work showing c-Kit-positive stem cells, they also secrete peptide growth factors. They could also influence the functional role of cardiac fibroblasts. Whether they actually enhance or diminish the function of fibroblasts in a pathological setting remains unknown. Another interesting issue is that we've worked in the lungs and shown that there's a physiological fibrotic response during lung development. The same paradigm may exist in the heart. So what Randy's looking at his model may simply be physiological fibrosis. I know it's kind of a conundrum, physiological fibrosis, but in fact, it is a fibrotic response that's necessary for the heart to maintain structural integrity. So basically, what we're seeing here may be a physiological fibrotic response we modulated, but maybe different mechanisms implicated in pathological remodeling, example, in reactive reparative fibrosis.
That's a good comment, Angelo. I think the word fibrosis is maybe overused, and maybe it's time for us to think about distinguishing pathological fibrosis and really heavy deposition of collagen with other types of what we currently call fibrosis, but maybe it's time for a new term.
No, I agree. I think it's important to distinguish the, scar healing is physiological, it's not pathological, right? What we consider to be a fibrotic response, people assume it's automatically pathological, and it's not really the case.
Yeah, and in the heart too, I mean, the ECM, the collagen matrix, is a critical component of the heart. So we have to keep in mind also that that component has to be maintained. You're comparing it to, say, another organ like the liver, for example, where there really isn't a lot of collagen in the normal functioning liver, maybe not as much the mouse, but with the larger animals, you get quite a substantial collagen matrix that has to be maintained. And so you have this normal maintenance of matrix, and then when does that become abnormal, and when do you start to get pathological deposition of collagen? Very distinct entities to be considered.
That's a good concept. Like you said, after infarct, that area establishes a new homeostasis, if you will have it, that is physiological, and then it can go on to pathological, and in the case of MI, end up in heart failure.
Yeah, and Angela was talking about, you know, the collagen in the DDR2 mouse being less dense. So you kind of see that issue during post-MI remodeling. Initially, the scar, the collagen deposition is very diffuse. But as the remodeling continues and the scar matures, it gets very dense. It tightens up. And that's when the collagen takes on that very stiff property that we often associate with collagen deposition. But early on, it lacks that density. So, I mean, it's possible with the DDR2 mouse, we're just seeing an immaturity of the collagen deposition or a delay in its maturation. We really haven't looked at those aspects, but they're things to keep in the back of our minds.
What's also interesting with regard to Randy's comment is that there are studies showing that if you increase the collagen content in the scar, you increase scar thickness, which reduces LB dilatation. And that's actually a beneficial effect. So actually increased fibrotic response to the scar is actually beneficial, which people we don't look at all the time, but it's actually a well-established event to reduce left ventricular dilatation. And LV dilatation is a negative prognostic factor for pulmonary hypertension, ventricular arrhythmias, and reduced contractile function.
Good point, Angelo.
Randy, maybe you can explain to the listeners why ascorbic acid is used in some of your in vitro experiments measuring collagen.
DDR2 is a fibrillar collagen receptor and requires a triple helical collagen. So, denatured collagen like gelatin will not activate it. So a lot of the investigators in the DDR2 field, at least, many years ago, would stimulate the receptor by adding fibrillar collagen, triple helical collagen. And we thought we'd do it a little differently. We thought we would allow the cells to make their own triple helical collagen to stimulate the receptor. So that's why ascorbate was added, because the ascorbate is necessary, at least for triple helical collagen, for the prolohydroxylase activity, which stabilizes the triple helix. So we wouldn't get any secretion of triple helical collagen in the absence of ascorbic acid.
So Randy, what's the next steps from here?
I think interest for the DDR2, if you look at the literature right now, there's more interest right now in cancer for DDR2 receptor than functions of mesenchymal cells. And, it was an interesting mouse to get us moving forward in the area. We had identified prolohydroxylase, P4HA1, as a potential candidate for the collagen deposition effects. But, this receptor affects a lot of functions of the cardiac fibroblasts. So in terms of DDR2, I think we're pretty much, that part of the project is on hold or stalled at the moment. We still have the mice downstairs, and anyone who would like to work with them is certainly welcome to have them. But what we've moved on, we've used this as a stepping stone, as a bridge, to start looking at some of these more complicated aspects of collagen deposition by the cardiac fibroblasts. So looking at not just collagen mRNA, we all know that when the fibroblasts activate, the collagen mRNA goes up. But what does that mean in terms of how this collagen is packaged, how this collagen ultimately is deposited in the fib? So that's where we're going, Mary, looking in that direction, not specifically with DDR2, but looking at collagen deposition and how the fibroblasts control that.
Angela, what do you think about the future directions of this work?
We talk about normal fibroblasts versus scar myofibroblasts. They have distinct phenotypes. So if DDR2, does DDR play as an important role in myofibroblasts as a normal fibroblast, remains to be determined. Does DDR2 also eventually play a role in EMT, endothelial mesenchymal transformation? It may also play a role in ENDMT, endothelial mesenchymal transformation. Is DDR2 involved in that process in the heart? So a lot of questions still need to be addressed. I think the study is interesting, and it shows great promise.
In the heart, What exactly happens seems to depend a lot on whatever damage is occurring. You know, if it's a post-MI where you get a lot of inflammation, is it a pressure overload model? Is it general hypertension? Is it a acute pressure overload like a transaortic constriction? And because these cells are so plastic in their phenotype, they can change so greatly. We always have to consider what the pathological stimulus is before we start thinking. The finding that we have, just how applicable is it to every model? So it's a good point, Angelo. There's no universal when it comes to the fibroblast.
Oh, I know. I agree completely. Except that we've been working on this field for about 10 years now, and we're still at its incipient state. We're learning something new every day.
Fantastic. Randy, thank you for publishing in AJP Heart. Dr. Randy Cowling and Dr. Angelo Calderon, thank you for discussing this interesting manuscript with me. Back to you, Kara.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circ podcast. For more podcasts, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.